Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
Listen, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a person outside of Jesus Christ that has not committed sin and come short of God's glory. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Sin brings shame. Sin brings sorrow. And that's a healthy thing, and that's a good thing. In this politically correct society we live in, men are trying to remove the shame of sin. But it is right for you and I to feel convicted and ashamed of ourselves when we have missed the standard of God's holiness. The Bible says that godly sorrow leads to repentance, that godly sorrow leads to repentance. So I need to feel sorry for, you know, when I have sinned against God. And so shame can be healthy because it can lead to repentance. But God has not called you and I to be clothed in shame and to live in shame all the days of our life. And that is portrayed right here in the story of Genesis as sin is introduced into society. Watch what happens. We see that when man had a conviction and a consciousness of his sin and saw the result of that sin and that he was naked, notice we see that in verse 7, that the man and the woman began to sew fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They were looking for a way to hide their shame, to hide their nakedness. Now, verse 8 says, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife did what, church? Hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Now, man had not done this before. He had not hidden from God. But now as a result of the shame of sin, man is now hiding from God while sowing fig leaves together, trying to get himself in a position so that he could be presentable before the Lord. So here man is in his shame and he's hiding from God. And the Lord asks the question in verse 9, Adam, where art thou? Now, anytime God asks a question, he already knows the answer. But he asks, Adam, where are you? Why aren't you in my presence? Why aren't you where we normally meet? In verse 10, he says, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. I was ashamed. I was embarrassed, and I hid myself. The result of shame is right when we sin. There's no undoing that. If you've ever done anything you're ashamed of, there's no undoing what you did that brought shame. But know today that God does not want you and I walking in that shame. That's why he sent Jesus to bear our shame, to bear our reproach. The word says, he that knew no sin became sin so that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. And so watch what happens in verse 21, because God is saying, I don't want you walking in a shame that would keep you out of my presence. I don't want you walking in a shame that would cause you to live beneath the destiny that I have planned for you. I don't want you walking in a shame that would strip you of your value, purpose, and meaning in life. So the Lord addresses the shame in verse 21 when he does this. Watch this. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make what? Coats of skin, read it, and clothe them. And did what? Clothe them. Why? Because in their shame and in their nakedness, they were hiding from God. They were running from God. They were out of the presence of God. So God was saying, let me resolve what has you ashamed. Let me resolve what's kept you out of my presence. Let me resolve what's kept you out of prayer. Let me resolve what's kept you out of my word. Let me resolve what's kept you out of fellowship. fellowship with me. Let me resolve this right now. And God takes an innocent lamb and sacrifices that lamb. And for the first time ever, death has taken place in God's creation. And the innocent has died so that the guilty can be covered. This was a picture of Jesus, that he would come as a lamb and die for my sin. Naked on a cross, he bore my shame. Why? So that you and I could be covered. So despite what's in your past, despite what you have done, your history does not have to define your destiny, because today there is grace, and today there is salvation, and today you don't have to walk around in the shame of your past. You don't have to be defined by what's in your past. Today there is grace at the foot of the cross, and the Lord God is ready to clothe you, to clothe you. And let me just say this to you before I read it. Your Father loves you so much that he wants to cover you. The Bible says that love will cover a multitude of sin. I know the enemy wants to bring up everything we've ever done, but love says, I want to cover it. Love says, I want to cover it. You know, there are some folk that just don't know how to love us, and they're always bringing up every fault. Always bringing up every mistake. Even when we tell them that we've changed, they want to say with their old long critical finger, you say you changed, but I know you. I know you. You ain't fooling me, because I know you. No, you knew me. You don't recognize that I now understand who God made me to be. I may not be who I want to be, but I am not who I used to be. Hallelujah. And so God's love is a love that says, I want to cover you. I got that covered. I've got that covered. I want to cover you. I don't want you to walk in the shame of what you've done for every year thereafter. I want to cover and fulfill the plan and the destiny that I have for you. That is the heart of our God. Watch this in Ezekiel chapter 16. When you get there, just say amen. And we'll look at it down in verse number 8. Now when I pass by thee, and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Look at the Father's heart. Look at God's heart toward us. He said, I saw you naked. I saw you shamed, and I covered you, and I entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine. Verse 9 says that he washed us with water and anointed us with oil. Hallelujah. He washed away our sin. He washed away our past and anointed us with his spirit so that we could fulfill our destiny. Watch verse 10. He said, I clothe thee with broidered work. Read that out loud. I clothe thee also with broidered work. Not some old cheap clothes. No, he said, I covered you with broidered work. I covered you with clothing that took time to create. It took an investment to create. I covered you with something expensive because it cost me something to cover you. Listen, when you recognize what Jesus did for us, it cost God something to cover us. He didn't cover me with the coat of a lamb. He didn't cover me with the coat of a pigeon or a turtle dove. No, he covered me with the coat of his glory that was paid for by the blood of his righteous son. My covering cost God something. Come on, somebody. He said, I covered thee with broidered work and shod thee with badger's skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with what? Silk. Hallelujah. I decked thee also. Covering would have been enough, God, just to hide my shame. But lo and behold, if you didn't show up and put an ornament on me, gave me a bracelet and a gold chain around my neck. Look at God. He said, not only do I cover you, but I'm going to decorate you. I'm going to adorn you, hallelujah, with gold and with silver and precious jewels. Verse 12, he said, I put a jewel on your forehead and earrings in your ears and a beautiful crown upon your head. Thou wast decked with gold and silver, and not the cheap gold that you buy in the middle of the mall that turns your skin green. No, he said, I decked you with pure gold. Hallelujah. Look at God. There was a time in my life that I just needed to be covered. I just needed the Lord to hide my shame. But he went so far beyond just hiding my shame. He began to decorate my life and to put his blessing on my life. Why? Because it is the will of the Father to adorn his daughters, to adorn his daughters, to let them know of their worth and their value in his eyes. That's a good God right there. That's a wonderful Father. But listen, it's the Father's heart to restore even when he beautified you a year ago and you feel like you lost something. You say, Lord, I know you restored me and you decorated me and I just don't feel like I'm as adorned today. I lost something. Lord, you brought me to a place and I feel like I've lost it. Let me tell you something. The Father's heart's to replace what you've lost. It's his heart to decorate you. It is his heart for you to know your value in him. He's a good God. He's not the author of brokenness and embarrassment. He is the God of grace, and he gives beauty for ashes. Hallelujah. He said, I covered you with silver and gold, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work. Thou did eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast, read it, exceeding beautiful, and thou did prosper into a kingdom. Come over with me to the book of Isaiah. Turn back with me to Isaiah chapter number 61. Turn back in your Bible and you'll find it quicker. If you go forward, you're going to be going forward for a long time. Go back to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, this is speaking of the anointing that would be upon Jesus, prophesied of in the Old Testament. You see it in verse 1, speaking of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me. Jesus quotes this in Luke chapter 4 when he began his ministry. But notice what this anointing would do in verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them what? Beauty for ashes. Keep reading. The oil of joy for mourning. Here we go. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. God said, I want to give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's the heart of God. The spirit of heaviness will cause you to bow over. The spirit of heaviness will make you to stoop. The spirit of heaviness will bring you down. But God says, I don't want you bowed over. I don't want you heavy laden. I want you wearing the garment of praise. And the word says here that Jesus was anointed to do just that, to take off the coat of heaviness and to put on the garment of praise. Matter of fact, the word there used in verse 3 is, I want to give the garment of praise, the garment of praise, read it with me, for the spirit of heaviness. God said, I want there to be an exchange. I want you to exchange what you've been wearing. Come on, somebody. Now, let me show this to you, this promise fulfilled in the Gospel of Luke. Turn with me to the 13th chapter. And as you turn to Luke 13, how many of you today, are walking bowed over spiritually or mentally speaking because of the heaviness of your past? How many of you have allowed someone else's words or lack thereof cause you to be bowed over and not walk in the honor and the virtue and the glory as a son or daughter of the Most High God? You know, words carry the power of life and death. And I feel like there's somebody I'm talking to that has heard words that have bowed you over, that have heard words that have made you heavy. Maybe there's something that was you inflicted, self-inflicted on your own life. Maybe there was something you've done in your past that you're ashamed of. Maybe there's something back there that you wish never happened. And the enemy is constantly bringing that up, trying to get you to take your identity in what you've done in your past. And that thing has you bowed over and heavy. I'm here to tell you today that you have met the grace of God through Jesus Christ, who who wants to cover that thing that would have had you bowed over. He wants to cover that thing that would have you heavy laden so that you can remove the garment of heaviness and put on the garment of praise. I want to prove it to you. Watch this in Luke chapter number 13. When you get there, say amen. We'll look at it beginning in verse number 10. I mean, take inventory of your life as I read this. Verse 10, Luke 13. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. How long? 18 years she's been bowed over with the spirit of infirmity. And was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. She's broken down by this spirit of infirmity. Now, the word infirmity just means weakness or feebleness. It's not limited. It's not limited to the physical. In other words, an infirmity can exist in your mind. An infirmity can exist in your emotions. An infirmity can exist in your spirit, to the point that what I'm seeing in your countenance, what I'm seeing in your body, is just a reflection of the way you think about yourself in your mind. You know, you can look at people and see their countenance and sometimes read that there must be something going on in your mind that has you so defeated looking in your flesh. I see it with people walking down the street. Sometimes I'm at a red light and I look and I just see young men and women walking down the street, and you just see brokenness on their face. You just see emptiness on their face. And I just wanna reach out and say, do you know who you are? Do you know who loves you? And do you know what God did to save you? And I'm not trying to prejudge anybody. I'm just saying sometimes what we've got going on mentally and spiritually shows up in our life. On our face, there's just this heaviness of infirmity. And as we keep reading this story, you'll find in verse 16 that this infirmity that this woman has, that's got her bowed over, that infirmity came from the devil. The Bible says the devil had her bound 18 years. It was the devil that authored this shame in her life. It was the devil that had her bowed over and not being able to stand upright spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically. It was the enemy that had her in this position. My point is I don't want you limiting this to a healing miracle of the body. And watch what happened. The Bible says that he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. This weakness that's had you bowed over, this feebleness that's had you bowed over mentally, physically, spiritually, it will have no power over you again. This thing that's had you broken and bowed over will never have power over you again. I loose you from the thing that's had you bound for 18 years. What does that look like in your life? What's had you bound? What's had you broken? Verse 13, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. And what did she do, church? She glorified God. So guess what? She was heavy. She was heavy. But now what's she doing? She's glorifying God. So what did he do? He took the coat of heaviness off of her. He took the spirit of heaviness off of her. And what did he do? He gave her the garment of praise. And I'm telling you that today, God wants to take the spirit of heaviness off of you and give you the garment of praise. He wants you to be able to stand upright and give him praise in the liberty of his grace. You say, Pastor, you don't know what's in my past. You don't know what's been said about me. You don't know about the things I've done. It don't matter what you've done. There is grace at the foot of Jesus' cross for all those that will come to him. He's got you covered. But he refuses to let you walk in the shame. He refuses to let you walk in the shame of your past. And God forbid any man try to put on you the reproach of your past, or speak a word over you that's not in line with the grace of God, not in line with the grace of our Lord Jesus. We see his heart right here when he went to this woman and called her unto himself and said, this thing's had you heavy too long. This thing's had you heavy too long. And his grace made her straight, and she praised God. And I'm telling you, that is the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. And when he gets through doing what he does, you'll find yourself straight. You'll find yourself bringing God praise. And folk will look at you and they'll say, man, why do you praise God like that? And you'll say, if you only knew who I used to be, and if you only knew what he brought me out of, then you would know why I praise him the way I do. See, there are some folk that look like they got it together, but they can't praise God. They'll sit in a worship service with hands in pocket, just sitting around because the spirit of heaviness is still on you. But it's time to break it off and to give God praise. Praise looks good on you. Praise looks good on you. Let go of your manhood. Let go of all that masculinity. You got to be bold in worship. No, you need to break yourself out of that and give God the praise in your life. Praise looks good on anybody. Praise looks good on everybody. Don't let the devil remind you of your past and tell you you can't praise him. Don't let the devil remind you of what you did last week and tell you you can't praise him. Don't let the devil use words that other folk have spoken over you and let it interrupt your praise. You better know today who God has made you to be, who he has called you to be, and let your praise be in response to a God who broke me free from the thing that had me bound. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, praise looks good on you. You've been heavy too long. See, I can look at your face. Baby, what's wrong? Oh, you just don't know what I've been through. You don't know what's been said about me. Oh, this is the day of your breakthrough. Devil's had you bound too long. Woman, thou art loose. You don't have to walk around in this infirmity. You don't have to walk around in this heaviness. You don't have to walk around in the heaviness of what your daddy didn't do or what a man said about you, because today your value is not set by a daddy that wasn't there. Your value is not set by a husband that didn't know how to talk. Your value is set by the Most High God, who has called you his daughter. So you can walk straight and give God praise. To the point that folk will look at you and say, who does she think she is? Who does she think she is? And you'd be like, I wish you'd have said that with your mouth instead of just in your head. Because if you'd let your lips say what was in your mind, I would have told you, I am the daughter of the Most High God. May not be who I want to be, but I'm definitely not who I used to be, because he called me out, straightened me up, put a song in my heart. Hey! Used to be bound. Used to need a drug to go to bed and needed one to get up. I had to have a smoke, had to have a drink, had to have a club, but I am free. I now know who I am in Christ. Used to need a man to feel like I was beautiful. Used to need a man to feel like I was important, but I found everything man couldn't give me at the foot of the cross of Jesus, my Savior. Hallelujah. Now I forgive my father for not loving me as his daughter, because I got that love from my daddy God. Now I forgive that man that didn't know how to talk to a woman because he never saw it with his daddy. I forgive him and give him grace because I've now got it from my father. I don't have to walk through life. Are y'all hearing him saying to you? With my clothes painted on. Because I don't need the attention of a man to feel like I got worth. Hey! I know who I am in Christ. And because I've got value, you better be ready to pay the price. when you know who you are, you ain't easy. I'm going to raise my daughters to know that they are of great value, they are of great price, and any man that gets ready to take my daughter by the hand, he better be ready to pay the price. You better be ready to earn this girl, because I've taught her what she means. I have shown her her value. She's had my time, she's got my heart, she's got what's in my hand. You better be ready to pay.
Thank you for tuning into Word of God Ministries podcast. To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.